Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Hey, I just want to just share with you this morning. God laid this on my heart, and I've been pastoring for a lot of years. For those of you who don't know, and you probably have heard me say this a million times, you know, I'm 64, I'll be 65 years old in August. I've done this for, I don't know, decades, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ around the world, many, many times, Deborah and I have. And we are just loving the theology. We just grow to this. Over the years of pastoring for so many years, I have seen people win. I've seen people lose. I've seen losers become winners. I've seen winners, listen to this, become losers. I've seen people do good. I've seen people do bad. I've seen bad people end up doing good. I've seen good people end up doing bad. I found out something that's very important. I found out that it's so simple to win in life with Jesus. That God went to that cross and died for you and I on that cross, not so that he could beat us up and drag us down and put us down and defeat us. We went to that cross so that he could lift us up and be victorious in every area. In fact, the Bible says, greater is he that's in you, that's the Holy Spirit, than he that's in this planet. Yes, may I tell you something? That's satanic principles. And I want you to know it's by your choices. It's simple as this. It's by your choices that'll dictate where you're going to be tomorrow. It's by the choices. I watch people make good choices, end up in godly places. I watch people make bad choices, thinking it's God, and end up in bad places, wondering where God is, mad at God, angry at God, frustrated at God, because they had, listen to this, good intentions. And I've taught you this, and you might as well understand this, that God is not interested in blessing your good intentions. We think, God, I had good intentions. Surely you're going to bless me back. But I'm here to tell you something. Listen, God doesn't bless good intentions. God wants to bless what is his word, what you are following by your heart. Your choices. I'm going to say it again because you didn't hear it. Your choices determine where you're going to be. So today, the title of this message is called Choosing Your Tomorrow, or Choose Your Tomorrow. What you choose today, I love this, because without understanding this principle, we're going to fail. What you choose today will determine your places tomorrow. What you'll choose today will determine your places tomorrow. And where you are today is because of choices that you made. A lady came to me one time and she said these words. She says, I made a lot of mistakes in my life. The biggest mistake I ever made is when I chose that man and I married him. And I said, no, that's not your biggest mistake. And her eyes got real big and she looked at me and she said, what do you mean that's not my biggest mistake? I'm telling you it's my biggest mistake. I said, no, your mistake is that man and you didn't choose to go the ways of the Lord. That's your mistake. It's not the man, it's what you do with what you have. And if you'll choose the ways of the Lord and choose the things of God, it makes all the difference in the world. And may I say this to you? If you don't know how to make the choices, you'll make the wrong choices. And when you make the wrong choices, you'll end up and you'll fail. And God wants us to know something. You know, I'm the how-to pastor. I'm one of those pastors that just many years have been in church. I'd hear a lot of preachers tell me what to do all the time. And you need to do this. And then they'd tell me what God did and tell me what to do. But never told me simply how to do things. And if you're going to choose your tomorrow, let me share with you five little principles today that if you operate in them, I promise you that you will have a tomorrow that is dynamic, have a tomorrow that's exciting. You'll have a marriage that works. Your children will grow and serve the Lord. I'm telling you, listen to this. You'll have a better business, greater business, stronger business, and healthier business. God wants to bless you in that area too. Five little principles that most people don't really consider, some of which you might already be doing, But many, I bet, are in this room that are not doing these five simple little principles about making choices. The choices you make today determine the places you'll be tomorrow. You are where you're at today because of the choices of yesterday. And today, you and I need to make a difference, need to make a change, and follow after the ways of the Lord. And I tell you, saints of God, it is good for you to see and good for you to hear. I want to take you, before I get into those five principles, is this okay? That I take you into the Old Testament. We're going to play in the Old Testament a lot today because we're always in the epistles. And because those are the letters to the church. So if those are the letters to the church, we're the church. I want to find out what the epistles have to say. But today we're going to jump into the Old Testament and kind of look at some areas. But I want to take you to the prophet Isaiah, the last chapter of Isaiah, the 66th chapter. And I want you and I to look at a chapter, and I want you to see the heartbeat of God. So go with me, if you will, into Isaiah, last chapter, 66. And when you get into the last chapter, let's take a look at something. Let me set you up, and I want you to understand. Hear me now. I want you to understand that every verse I'm going to give you today, you will see the word chosen. Every word, because this is all about you making the right, what? Choices for tomorrow. Choose your tomorrow. That's what this is all about. Now I want you to know that we're going to, again, go to five little simple principles that you can follow. So simple, it's so profound. But I want you to see the heartbeat of God. God makes a statement in Isaiah, the 66th chapter. In verse number 2, at the end of verse number 2, he's really relating with, now I want you to hear me, really relating with people who have a contrite heart, or one might say a broken spirit. He's not saying down and out, you know, a low lifer, someone who doesn't think anything of himself. When he uses the word at the end of verse number 2 of being a person of a contrite spirit, he's really talking about someone who is pliable to his ways. So God relates with people who are pliable, listen to this, to his ways, God's ways. And he looks at somebody and relates with somebody who trembles at his word. Gives you great insight. If you and I are in a place where we're not trembling at the word of God, then maybe we need to evaluate where we're at with God. And we need to check ourselves out and get to a place where we're have that broken and contrite spirit, being pliable and flexible to God, and then coming along, listen to this, and having our attitude where we tremble at his word. He relates to people like that. The people he doesn't relate to starts in verse number 3, and he starts to make a statement about their choices. Let's take a look at it. Isaiah 66, starting in verse number 3, it says this, "He who kills a bull as if he has slain a man." In other words, God is making a statement that we are putting emphasis on some things more than we're putting on other things that are more important. I'm all for taking care of animals. I'm all for saving the whales. I'm all for ecology. But I want you to know something. The heartbeat of God is not saving the whales or the planet. The whole thing's going to burn. Someone needs to tell you anyway. The bottom line, read the book. It's going to all fail. I want you to know, you talk about global warming. That's global warming. It's all going to burn. And I want you to know something. That's not what this is about. This is about people having the right evaluation of positions of people. He says, when you put animals in front of people, you are now out of sync with God and you're delusional. You'll see it in a moment. I want you to know, I don't want you to walk out, meet me at the back door and say, "Pastor Jim, you just don't like animals. You don't have any dogs. You don't have any cats. You don't have any of those animals. You just don't like animals." That's not true. I have 12 pets. Yes, that's right. I probably have more pets than most of you. I have 12 pets. They're goldfish outside in a pond, and that's where they need to be. So don't tell me I don't like animals. I like them a lot. When they're outside looking at me going, I think they're great. And that's as far as I'm going with that subject. But now he comes along. He says he doesn't relate with people who sacrifice a lamb as if they break a dog's neck. In other words, they'll come before God and think nothing of it. It's not important. It's not a big deal. It's nothing. Then he comes along and he says, who offer up grain as if it's swine's blood, who offer up a grain offering as if it's swine's blood. Nothing could be ruder to God than to offer up swine's blood. Remember, Jewish people had nothing to do with pigs whatsoever. And to offer the blood instead of a grain offering. Grain offering is when you're prosperous and you're offering something to God and you're giving it back to God. Instead of doing that, you're just like throwing your offering down. It's no more than swine's blood to God. And then he comes along and says, who burns incense as if he blesses the idol? Man, we go before God. We say, God, we love you a lot. And we're just brain dead about what we're doing. We're in some tradition or religious ceremonial ritual. Now, I'm not picking on people that are in traditions or ceremonial ritual. But if you do it instead of out of your heart and do it out of your head, you are in trouble with God. Now listen to this. He comes along and he makes this statement. Just as they have chosen their own ways. Notice the word chosen. We're talking about making the right choice. Sometimes we choose our own ways and what we know instead of what God says. And they have chosen their own ways and their soul's delight in their abominations. In other words, what they did with God was an abomination. But watch verse number 4. So will I choose? Everybody say the word choose. Here's God choosing. You chose the wrong way, so therefore God's going to choose something. I'll choose their delusions. In other words, God says, they've got a false picture of how life works. I'll just give you that false picture. And go ahead and try to make life work. It doesn't work. That's why we know so many Christians that love the Lord, they say, but they won't follow God. We'll love God so much, but we won't follow God. We won't trust Him with what He tells us to do. We won't do it the way He wants it to do it. And it's nothing but pig's blood that we're offering up to God. And He says, these choices that you make that are your choices, not my choices, because you don't trust me. He comes along and He says, I will turn you over to those delusions. Wow. Now, how did He do that? Why does He do this? And bring their fears on them. Why? Because, listen to this. When I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose. Everybody say chose. Chose what in which I do not, that in which I do not delight. In other words, we can choose things that are not right with God and we fail. If I choose something, even though I have good intentions and I think it's okay and it's not okay, then I can't really believe God to expect me to bless me back in my ignorance when He's given me the path that God wants us to live. Five things God wants us to look at that are right, if you will. Five things that are important for us, the right choices. And there are five simple choices that you can make that if you follow these, I promise you can take me outside and stone me. You better not. You take me outside and stone me. These five simple things that you can follow, that if you follow these things in your marriage will be great. You follow these things in your business will be great. You follow these things in raising your children will be great. You follow these things in relatives, relationships, whatever it might be. Five simple things God would have you and I to look at. Here's number one. Number one, write it down. Simple. God. Number one's got to be God. In other words, there's got to be a whole heart for God. God can't be something unless He's everything. He'll never be something until you make Him everything. And you and I have got to understand, if we don't make God number one, He is not just in our life, He is our life. He is not just something we breathe, He is something that keeps us and sustains us, and He is our everything. God, let me tell you something, I'm talking about a radical, fanatical relationship with God. I'm not talking about jumping all over the place and looking like a crazy person. I'm talking about a heart depth with God that you're not going to offer up pig's blood as an offering to God. You're not going to come along and do something crazy and hope that God blesses it. You've made a commitment that God is number one. You're going to live by God. You're going to breathe by God. Your purpose of being on this planet is God. That God brought you to this place, there's a reason. Did you know that your time, as short as it is on this planet, you're nothing but in a little test tube to see whether or not you're going to make God number one. You might call it a faith tube, if you will. But I want you to know something. Everything, God is looking for somebody who will tremble at His word and have a broken and contrite spirit. Not someone who makes choices for themselves, but makes choices for the things of God. God, you got to hear me now. God has got to be number one. God's got to be number one in your marriage. God's got to be number one in your children. God's got to be number one in your thinking. God's got to be number one, listen to this, in your decision-making process. God has got to be number one. And no one can make Him number one but you. You can keep Him at arm's length and He'll stay at arm's length. He won't push His way into your life. You got to bring Him close to you. The Bible says that you draw near to Him and He'll draw near to you. First choice is you drawing near to Him. And the question today for everybody that's in this room is whether or not God really is number one, or is He just something in your life and He is not everything in your life. There are areas in Scripture that give us great insight into this, that really catches the heart of God, really kind of like gets Him to pay attention. I want to give you an Old Testament Bible study, if I may, about a lady by the name of Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite. A Moabite people were people that were cursed. A Moabite people, they didn't have anything going. They were cursed by God, and they just were bad people, bad situation. They were not doing well before God. There's this lady by the name of Naomi. Naomi is an Israelite. Her husband and her two sons move out of Israel, and they go to the Moab. And there in Moab, they start and establish their business, and it fails. The husband of Naomi dies. Her two sons are there. They marry Moab women. And as they marry these Moabite women, then the husbands die. Here's something God's trying to tell us. Don't go into the other man's territory and expect to be blessed. Stay in the territory of God and you will get blessed. But nevertheless, let's go past this. Now you got the husband dead of Naomi, and you got the two daughter-in-laws that are from Moab that are both got dead husbands. So Naomi calls her daughter-in-laws in, and she says to them, "There is no hope for you in Israel. They will throw you out. They will disdain you. No one will ever marry you again. I have no legacy. I have no money. I don't know how I'm going to be supported. You need to go back to Moab, and you need to go to your people and live there. I'm going home to Jerusalem. I'm going to Israel." And then one of the ladies gets up and she leaves and goes back to her people. But this lady by the name of Ruth, who was the daughter-in-law, had a different attitude. And her attitude caught the heart of God. I want to show it to you, if you will. If you go to 1 Samuel, you've gone too far. If you find Judges, in between Judges and 1 Samuel is the book of Ruth. Let's go to the first chapter and look at the words, if you will, that Ruth speaks to Naomi, her mother-in-law. Remember, the mother-in-law is saying, go back to Moab. You've got a life ahead of you in Moab, but you have no life in Israel. It's foolish for you to follow me. But Ruth makes a statement that's in the Word of God that is recorded. Listen to what Ruth says about God. Notice this in verse number 16. But Ruth said, entreat me. That means urge me not to do something. Entreat me not to leave you, nor to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people, who are not my people, but your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. When God heard that about her, she became incredibly special. We're talking about making the first choice. Is God has got to be everything in your life. Now listen to what I'm going to say to you. It's so impressive to God that God brought these two ladies back. She meets up with a very rich farmer by the name of Boaz. They get married. They have wealth all of their life. And from the bloodline of Boaz and from the bloodline of a Moabite, not an Israelite, a Moabite woman, comes the Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God's not looking for bloodline. God's looking for the heart. that'll stay with Him. In other words, you and I have got to come to a place in our walk with God. The world is going to tell us stuff. The people are going to go in one direction. It's going to look like it's the right direction. But when you follow God, God will bless you in everything that you do. We're talking about making important right choices. And right choice number two, I love this, is the word serve. You're going to serve someone, and you know it. You might as well understand that there's a man out there somewhere in this audience right now makes this statement to himself, I don't serve anybody, I'm independent. It might be that you're wealthy, might be that you work for nobody, might be that you just do your own thing, but everybody in this room will serve someone. May I say this to you? If you serve no one and you only serve yourself, you're still serving someone. And you and I have got to come to a place where we're going to make a decision and a choice to serve the Lord. Without serving God, then the question is asked, who do you serve? Do you serve the flesh? Do you serve the politicians? Do you serve a society or a social system? Do you serve what? Who do you serve? May I say this to you? When you make a decision to set your life down in God, you've got to understand in order to set your life into God, you're going to have to serve God with your life. And that is a commitment that you make. It's a choice that no one else can make but you. I love this word out of Joshua, the 24th chapter, verse number 15. Can we read it together? Just turn back in your Bible towards the front of your Bible. And notice this, in Joshua 24, verse number 15, listen to Joshua as he makes this statement. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose, everybody say choose. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether it's the gods of your father that served on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorite in the lands in which you dwell. But as for me and my house, but as for me and my house, you know, my Deborah and I, we're building houses. Every time we built a house and poured a foundation, we'd always put that scripture in. For me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. And it's got to be that kind of a commitment, because guess what? All your relatives, all your friends, all your neighbors, all the people at work, they're all going to rise up against you, man. I'm talking CBS, NBC, ABC. I'm talking about Fox News, CNN. They'll all rise up against you. I'm here to tell you the truth. There's only one that's on your side. You might as well serve Him. His name is Jesus. Is that not true? So we're talking about, listen to this subject, we're talking about the right choices. Number one, God. Number two, you're going to plant your life in a place where you're going to, for you and your house, that's the way it's going to be. You're going to serve God. You don't serve God sitting at home on the toilet. You don't serve God sitting at home on a couch. You don't serve God standing before a refrigerator, laying around, doing nothing. You don't serve God in bed. You get out of bed. You go find out where God's at. Draw near to Him and be what God's called you to be. Is anybody listening? You're going to have to serve the Lord. The right choices. Here's number three, and I love this one. You're going to have to discern. And here's one of the biggest problems I find in churches today in America, as well as in the people that are in those churches. They don't know how to discern between what is good and what is evil. Good is determined. Listen to this. Good is determined by what we are taught. Not by what really is good. Proof in what I'm saying to you. 25 years ago, what was unacceptable to even talk about is now in public television, in daytime television. It's absolutely polluted our system. Let me tell you something. The things that they teach to our children as normal in school 25 years ago wasn't even acceptable to talk about, let alone be taught to our children. And most people that attend American churches have no idea between good and evil. You know why? It goes all the way back to the garden. There's Adam and Eve. God speaks to them. He's telling them and giving them directions about what's good and what's evil. And God speaks to Adam and Eve and says, you can partake of all the trees of the knowledge, you can partake of all the trees in the garden, but the one in the middle, the knowledge of tree of good and of evil. Don't partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because the day you do, you will die. God told them the truth. That's exactly the way it was. They partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know what happened? From that moment on, they now can decide for themselves what is good and what is evil. Before that time, they only got directions from God. Before that time, whatever God says was good, that was good. Whatever God says was evil, that was evil. But now they can decide for themselves, and now you see a whole society depleting and decaying from that period of time. Why? Because we have a hard time discerning what is good and a hard time discerning what's bad. Why? Because our ancestors partook of the tree of knowledge of good and of evil. And now we judge for ourselves instead of letting God tell us what is good and letting God tell us what is evil. Let me tell you something. There's this incredible guy in the Bible by the name of Solomon. He's going to take over Israel. His dad was the greatest king Israel ever known. His name is David. And David's old, and Solomon's going to take over. And when Solomon sees all these people and all the wealth and prosperity his father brought to Israel, he starts to talk to God. Now, Solomon is known by everybody as a man of great, what word? Wisdom. So he's a man of great wisdom, but he makes a statement. And the statement that he makes to God, listen to this, I'm going to say it again. He makes a statement, and the statement that he makes to God was one that caught the heart of God and caught the attention of God. Here's the statement. Go with me, if you will, into 1 Kings. Let's take a look at 1 Kings, the third chapter. In 1 Kings, the third chapter, let's take a look at it together. And when we get to 1 Kings, the third chapter, let's look at verse number 9, and let's see what Solomon says to God. Most people miss what Solomon is really saying about God. It wasn't about wisdom to manage the people as much as it was about something else. Let's take a look. Notice verse number 9. Therefore, give unto your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? In other words, God caught his ear, caught his eyesight when Solomon said something wise. He said, God, I need to know how to discern what is good and what is evil. I just see God in heaven say, now, son, that's what I'm talking about. That's what you lost in the garden, is the ability to discern what is good and what is evil. And now you've established your own good and you've established your own evil. Listen, proof in point. Have you ever raised kids and they come in and you know they're doing something they shouldn't do? And you say to them, hey, don't do that. It's just not. And they say, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm good. I haven't done anything. There's something on the inside of you. You just know it's wrong. And you don't know how to put your finger on it. Or don't hang around those people. I'm really worried about you hanging around. Oh, no, they're okay. They're good. And there's something on the inside that just lets you know what that is, man, there's something there that's discerning what is good and evil. Listen, good isn't established by whether or not it fits into society. Good is not established on whether or not the moral majority agrees to it. Good is not established on whether or not the politicians or economics dictate this is the principle. Good is established by what God says. And what God says is evil. And when you and I come to a place where we are properly discerning what is good and evil. Now, this is a little bit more difficult than just making the choice for God or making the choice to serve it. Now we're in a place of defining what is good and what is evil. And how do you do that, which makes us to another place? Which brings us, if you will, to the fourth point, right choices. Right choice number 4 is truth. You're going to have to determine what's truth. Your feelings, your ideologies and your philosophies and your thinking, and your way of life, and what your daddy taught you, and what your mommy taught you, and what your school teachers taught you, and what society has taught you, and what the economic systems and politicians have taught you. What's truth? You have a different truth than I have a different truth. You have a different truth than they have a different truth. There's all kinds of people that have an idea what's truth, but we've got to come to one common denominator of what is truth, and there's only one thing that's true, and it's God's Word. Jesus said, I am the way, the what? The truth in the life. And you got to come to a place where it's truth. That's where you find out what is good and what's evil. Can I tell you something? May I share this with you? Listen to me. Please hear me. Not everything in the Bible makes you feel comfortable. If you're in a church that just makes you feel comfortable, you got problems. Listen, not everything in the Bible makes you feel comfortable. There are things in the Bible that'll rub you the wrong way, but it's like petting a cat. Turn the cat around if you're petting it backwards. And it's time for us to make the choice to turn around sometimes. Because what God says is truth, and that's what's evil, and that's what's good. Now listen to me. What I mean by that, let me give you an illustration. I'm 6'4". I know I'm older, but I'm still a man. My dad was a light heavyweight boxing champion. I was a professional baseball player for years. And I know about what it feels like to be a man. I read the Bible and Jesus says, if someone hits you on your one side of your face, turn your cheek. That doesn't work for me. I don't like that one. Because I tell you what, you hit me on one side of your face, I may not be able to get a good fist up because they're a little stiffer than they used to be, but I want you to know I'm going to slap the snot out of you as fast as I can. And I want you to hear what I'm saying. So I have trained myself not to respond like that. I had to come to a place where I said, this is truth. And what God says, not my feelings running me. My feelings were to kick the snot out of you and let the ushers pick you up later. But that's not me anymore. Not because I don't feel it, but because truth became more important than my feelings. Are you following me? Without an understanding of truth, it doesn't work. When mama is mad, sometimes I know Debbie and I have like this fabulous marriage, but we have intense fellowship. Have you ever had intense fellowship? We call it intense fellowship. I mean, I'll get mad and she'll get mad, and then we go back to truth. It's not based on what you think of me right now, girl, and it's not based on what I think of you. And usually she's the one that says, we need to pull this together. What does God say? I'm man, you know. And then I realize my feelings are one thing, but the truth governs me more. And that's how marriages work out to be the greatest, is when truth becomes more important than your thinking or your feeling or what you have. Without it, it doesn't work. I like what the psalmist says, 119. Let's check it out. Just pop it up on the overhead. Verse number 30 says, I have chosen. Isn't this great? Everybody say chosen. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. And it's a choice on your part, my part, to choose truth. Which brings us to number 5. Let's review just for a moment. We're talking about 5 things that you can choose to choose properly, to be choosing right. Number 1 is God. Number 2 is who do you serve. Number 3 is rightly discerning. And number 4 is truth. But here's what I love about number 5. People. You have to have God's people around you. My daddy used to tell me something. He wasn't very spiritual, but he told me stuff that was true. You finish this sentence. Birds of a feather flock. And it's true. The Bible describes it like this. Who you hang around with is what you'll become. Can I tell you something? Almost every person that's ever been in prison, and that's about half you in here, maybe 3/4. Look at y'all laughing. You know what I'm talking about. We've all visited you. And I want you to know something. No condemnation. Heck, who cares? We're going on with God. The past is over with. We're going on in victory. But listen to what I'm going to say to you. Listen, I've got to say this to you. Listen to me. Listen to me. Almost every person in prison will tell you the people they hung around with, there was the wrong people that drew them into something they shouldn't have done. And what you hang around with, it's what you become. You know, we had anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 men show up for men's conference. The teaching was phenomenal. The Word of God was rich. The food was fun and drippy and all over us. We had a great time. We didn't get a cookie. We got two cookies. Man, we're men. We loved it. You know, we didn't just beat up a car. We beat up two cars. We had a great time. We had arm wrestlers. I just shook the hand last service of the guy that won that thing. Man, goodness sakes alive, he's like a wall. And arm wrestling, we did all kinds of, you know, the best part of that? Well, the Word of God was great and everything. Best part was we related as men. We had a time as men. Men need men. And what you hang around with is what you'll become. If you hang around dirt balls, won't be long before you're a dirt ball. You hang around people who think they're good, and they may very well be according to society. Remember, we don't know what's good and evil. And they may very well be according to society, but they're not talking the Word. They're not speaking the Word of God. They're not encouraging you in your faith. They're not there believing God. They're not praying with you. You're not praying with them. I'm telling you, what you hang around with is what you become. That's why I like to come to church, because I need you. I want to hang around you. You know, I believe in a God I haven't seen. I believe in a God that I hear His Word. I believe in a God that, you know, hasn't... that's faith. And believing, and I come together with you and we all sing, we all praise God, we're all giving out a shout for Jesus, we're all clapping our hands, we're excited in the house of God. You know, I just go out of here and all of the world fell off of me. It's like I took a shower and all the dirt was running off of me. I thank God I get to come into the house of God. And that's what this is all about. We need God's people. Here's Moses. Moses brought up, you know, you saw the movie Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, so I know you know about Moses. Moses brought up in Pharaoh's house. He's got all the wealth. He's got the most powerful armies behind him. He is the biggest thing going. Wealth, prestige, the king's wine. He's got the king's food at his, the king's robes and clothes. He's got it all, man. He's got a Lamborghini in the garage. He's got a Ferrari in his other garage. He's got it all, man. He's got a Lear outside, parked outside. I mean, he's got it all. And I want you to know something. He makes a statement. He finally comes to a place in his walk with God. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 25. Let's put it up. Take a look at it. And it says, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You have got to make a choice. Everybody say choosing.
Choosing.
You've got to make a choice that even if you suffered in the house of God, which you will not do, it would be better than living in Moab where your life and your family is going to be destroyed. Is anybody listening to me? Today, five things we have learned. Number one, the right choice is God. Has to be. We'll talk about that in a minute. Number two, who do you serve? You're going to serve somebody. Number three, rightly discerning. When are you going to come and when am I going to come to a place that what God says is right, not what I think, what I feel, or what I've been taught. Number four, what's right is His truth, God's Word. I've always got to go to the truth, not my feelings, and act according to what God's Word says. That's where grace comes in. And number five, I need you and you need me. We need God's people. Because without God's people, man, we're like a lone ranger, an island by itself. We're not going to make it. We need each other. Men, did we not have a good time in men's conference? Come on. And the reason why is because the Word was rich and the worship was fabulous. But man, we were together. We were together. We had a time. There was so much testosterone in this place that it was flowing out the doors. I'm surprised it didn't blow the top of the roof off. Man, we had a great time. We need each other. Come on, if God spoke to you today, give Him a great big praise the Lord. We do that.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.